We are calling Ben Fulford.
Hello?
Hey, Ben. Bingo. Okay. Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. This is episode 308 with Ben Fulford. He speaks 7.5 languages. He's a Canadian in Tokyo, an international man of mystery. Catch his articles every Monday at benfulford.net. Ben Fulford. Can you believe it? This is your 10th time. You've been coming on like 3 times a year for like, 2.5 years now or so. I'm proud to have you. You got a vacation coming up. This is like one of your last interviews, I think, before you go to Canada. Now you got to write 2 a week because you're banking some. Are you having fun doing that?
I've already done it. I've pre-written a month's worth of articles, and I'm ready to go off grid.
Yeah. Is the stress getting to you at all? Because
every year I do a fast. I don't eat, and then I don't look at anything digital.
Mm-hmm.
So I turn off my phone and my computer, and I just, and I no watches. I just go with the sun, and I swim, and I fish, and I just detox once a year. It's a great reset, but not World Economic Forum style.
So we had a little miscommunication. I think you're looking forward to getting back to Canada to swimming and fishing. Are you going to be in D.C. at all? Because I got some people there. So if you stop by D.C., let me know.
Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm not going to the U.S. Until there's regime change there.
That's probably smart. Now, sometimes you do other people's podcasts and you drop a bombshell and then you just move on. I'm trying to ask you a follow-up. You say that you receive a handwritten note from Queen Elizabeth once a year, and then you took it as evidence that she was dead when this letter didn't come through, or in hiding. What is going on? That seems like prestigious.
In these days of computer-generated people and digital fakery, the only real safe thing is analog. And I have not, received analog confirmation this year. However, at least I can confirm that Queen Elizabeth as an institution is intact. In other words, the symbolic aspect of it, at the very least, is still functional. Okay, so as a symbol of the British Empire and the British people and their moral attitude to do the right thing, I think she's still there. But I haven't had confirmation, and I didn't get anything with her signature on it. That's a fact.
How many people get letters from the Queen every year? That seems unusual.
I'm expecting that someone like that, they probably, send out at least 1,000. It's part of their job to keep in touch with people. I went to the British Embassy in Tokyo and I asked for something to be sent to her via diplomatic pouch, and that's how this got started.
But you never got to meet her or anything like that?
No.
You never met her, but you're the son or grandson of an ambassador, right? Didn't it come from that circle?
No, but Prince Charles once had lunch at my grandfather's house, and my parents were present. But my grandfather was a member of Parliament at the time.
I want to talk about this mainstream news story that came out about Kevin Annett. I'm wondering if I owe him an apology. He seems to have been vindicated. A mass grave containing the remains of 215, but now it's up to 700. Children were found in a Canadian residential school to a re-education camp for Indigenous people. And I have this clip here of this news story.
Welcome back to CBS This Morning. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is apologizing to Indigenous Canadians after the remains of more than 200 Indigenous children were found last week. Some were as young as 3.
Huh. Was he vindicated? Do I owe him an apology, or what do you think there?
So I think that we have to wait for the results of a forensic investigation. But I know I have previously tried to contact Mr. Annette, and he definitely, he works for the Rockefellers. He's a propagandist, and I have caught him out with blatant lies in the past, okay? So I don't trust that man, and he won't talk to me because he knows I'll rip him a new orifice if he ever talks
but
to
him
me.
And but Trudeau is now apologizing.
Well, Canada did have, a very prolonged truth and reconciliation process, and they did say around 4,000 First Nations people, mostly children, did disappear. So that is out there. It's not like Canada's been hiding this. And, you know, there were a lot of problems with some of these communities. They had rampant alcoholism, incest, high crime rates. There was a real social decay in some First Nations communities. Not all. You know, you got to remember, this is like, but there were some. And at the time, you know, I guess the authorities felt they needed to do something about it. This background also needs to come out. I've visited these places. I know what it's like.
Mm. So, you know, I always wonder when the royal press, you know, the PR agent of the British royal family comes out and says something, if it's always a smokescreen to, like, take attention away from another news story. So anyway, this is, there's this whole thing with Prince Harry and Meghan Markle leaving for the United States, and I want to play this clip here.
They blame her for Harry being divorced from the royal family, effectively. They blame her for the fact that he's disappeared off to America, and they think she's a malign influence. Now, I'm not saying I agree with that, but what I do know is that the royal family does not like powerful women. I mean, the royal family is stuck in the past. They are not a modern family. They are stuck in the past, and the role of royal women, in the Queen except because she's head of the, she's obviously head of the family, head of the firm, but apart from that, their job is to, royal women, the job of royal women is to support their man. That's how they see it. That's rather old-fashioned way.
That was Sean Attenwood's program, a clip from it there. What do you think?
Well, okay, here's the thing. Harry's father is not Prince Charles, okay? That's well known. You can look up the photographs of Diana's riding instructor with Harry. You can see they're genetically linked. But anyway, I think that he really did fear for his life because he's not a member of the Saxe-Gotha bloodline. There was a group within England that wanted to remove the Saxe-Gotha bloodline from the British royal house and restore traditional British royal lines like the Spencers. And he didn't want to become a tool in this power struggle. And he realized that if he, you know, stayed there, his life was in danger. I mean, they did kill his mother.
Yeah. Speaking of royal deaths, it was reported that Prince Philip was in an awful car accident February 19, 2019, and I want to play this here.
Philip, as the Duke of Edinburgh, is apologizing to the victim of a car crash he was involved in earlier this month, the 97-year-old Duke sending a signed letter to her home wishing her well.
It was a bright and sunny day, and at about 3 in the afternoon, the sun was low over the Wash. In other words, the sun was shining low over the main road. And Prince Philip goes on to acknowledge that it must have been a very distressing experience for Emma Fairweather, who suffered a broken wrist in this accident. And in his letter, he wishes her a speedy recovery and expresses great relief that no one was seriously hurt. This was a PR disaster for the royals.
A PR disaster. He was blinded by the lights, blinded by the sun. He wrote a handwritten letter to her. But he survived, Prince Philip.
I don't know. You know, they this is an area where you can't tell. When did he really die? Is he still alive? There's just so much clouds, misinformation around these issues. I have not got any direct confirmation. But I'm pretty sure that the public announcement of his death was real. But I just don't know. I can't confirm directly. So, you know, I don't want to speak about stuff I don't know about.
There were official photographs out there, and it looked like, I mean, he's 97. He's not fit as a fiddle. The Land Rover was flipped over. I mean, I don't know.
I just don't know. That's all I'm trying to say. If I don't know, I don't want to pretend to know.
All right. Well, they did announce Prince Philip was dead April 9, 2021.
Prince Philip, the husband of Queen Elizabeth II, has died at age 99. He was admitted to a hospital in London in February, where he spent 4 weeks before being released. He passed away at Windsor Castle on April 9th. The former naval officer retired from public life in 2017. He was an active outdoorsman, hunter, equestrian, aviator, and sailor.
He was an active outdoorsman, human hunter. Oops, did I say that? Wow, what an outdoorsman. What a great guy.
You know, I'm not a big expert on the British Royal. I don't know why you're asking about all this stuff. Yeah, you know, it's not something that's...
You had mentioned on a podcast that he had said he wants to come back as a deadly virus, and I was...
Yeah, and you know, these families are divided. They have been divided for a while into a group that really thinks they need to kill 90% of humanity in order to save the environment, and another group who says, no, you just have to pay third world countries money to grow forests using a carbon tax, and you can save the environment without killing 90% of humans. And there is a real split there. That was seen in the Al Gore, Baby Bush election, and it was the genocidal faction that won at the time. I'm pretty sure the Queen is on the faction. It's from all publicly available information that wanted to save the environment without killing 90% of humanity.
You were mentioning that Prince Harry didn't want to be the, insider Spencer versus these Saxe Gotha. And so, you know, when you have a new political party or a new movement, you know, they used Al Gore or whatever, all these politicians. But a guy called Juan O'Savin keeps claiming that JFK Jr. is still alive. He's going to be the new president of this insurrection party. Is he alive? Do you have any thoughts on this? Because your buddy Robert David Steele is very much on this thing. But I just don't think that's correct. I think what happened was JFK Jr. was killed in a plane crash by Hillary Clinton for the 2000 Senate seat in New York to cover up 9/11. What do you say?
You know, there's a lot of hopium being put out to distract people. Like, you know, Trump will be back on July 4th, or Kennedy Jr. will be... president, you know, but just, and also, you know, a lot of these guys, your dinar check is in the mail, you're going to be rich soon. This is all hopium, and it's meant to, you know, defuse opposition to what we can visibly see. And what we can see is corporate media spewing out toxic lies day after day, and we need to physically occupy, for example, Google and Facebook headquarters in Palo Alto. We need to physically occupy the CNN complex in Atlanta, Georgia. We need to force these people to report the truth. They should probably be turned into like public utilities whose job is to report the truth based on facts, not spewing out propaganda 24 hours a day.
It goes deep, man. I got two strikes on my YouTube for your episodes, and then I had Ole Demigard on my podcast, and they wouldn't let me put it on BitChute. Even BitChute is somehow blocking my own podcast, so it's getting, they keep digging. Like, as mainstream's collapsing, their little cockroaches are blocking everyone's content. But
that's why I set up my own independent website in Switzerland. Nobody controls it except me, and if the Swiss providing company tries to mess with me, I'll move to Iceland or somewhere. But you've got to have your own independent network at this point.
Yeah. So I noticed that you were mentioning in your weekly newsletter the Knights of Malta, and it seemed like you're moving your position on that. And I have two examples here, and I just want to ask you about this. So June 7, 2021, you say the forensic evidence points to the Sovereign Military Order of Malta as the enforcement arm of the genocide. But earlier, many months earlier, November 13, 2020, you said, however, I do want to clear up some misunderstanding. It was not me who recommended Robert David Steele and Cynthia McKinney This was the recommendation to groups like the Knights of Malta. Their view is both Trump and Biden are compromised until there's real integrity to be restored in this election process. An interim leader, Robert David Steele, should be go in. So the Knights of Malta are pumping up Robert David Steele, but the Knights of Malta are in the sovereign military of the genocide.
There's a schism within the Knights of Malta, and I've been approached by one faction that is opposed to another faction. Okay, so they're split. So there's two Knights of Malta now. And a group that was previously opposed to me is now trying to help, which I welcome.
Hmm.
So this was, Leo Zagami, who originally came out to meet me in Japan all those years ago, and then I went to visit the P2 in Italy where they tried to kill me. A lot of those people who at the time tried to kill me are now working with me. So, you know, you've got to... It's like before World War II, the Japanese and the Americans were trying to kill each other. After World War II, they became allies. It's that kind of thing, okay? People change allegiances.
Why is Mr. Leo Zagami in hiding in Palm Desert somewhere, California?
Because he'd be arrested if he goes to Italy. There's a factional split there, too.
So you're appealing to hearts and minds of the
people. It's interesting. The people who want to arrest them are working with me. But now he, who originally was opposed to me, is now also trying to work with me. And so it's all for the good. If we're all trying to save the planet, we should, bury the hatchet and worry about how do we make this planet better, instead of, seeking permanent revenge and permanent vendetta,
I am petty. Look, I'm a petty person, Ben Fulford. But I almost met Robert David Steele. He didn't stop in Texas, in Austin. He stopped like an hour east and then an hour west. And then it got updated the last minute. I didn't have a chance to see him. I've been asking for an interview for this guy for a long time. I think I can help him. Look, I think I can help him with some jokes. He's got this Miss Piggy doll. He's trying. It's a little embarrassing sometimes. I could write better jokes. He's got a good message, though. And he has, I agree, we have to rethink the 1%. Three people have trillions of dollars. They control 60% of all money, and they're stealing everything. They're paying off the politicians. So it's a loop that we have to stop. But then he goes to Mount Rushmore. Trump doesn't show up. Neither does JFK Jr., Anna von Reitz is unpersoned. Sasha Stone is a thief. I see some infighting there.
Well, the thing is, I've seen this many times, is that if you lift up a flag and you start trying to get a bandwagon going, they will send in agents saboteurs, people who come who say they want to help you, and then they work from the inside to, cause infighting and to sabotage things. And it would be unnatural if they did not send a whole bunch of people to try to sabotage what Mr. Steele's trying to do.
I Skyped you. I go, I don't trust this Sasha Stone a long time ago, and I just pointed to one thing. Maybe this is, I just go, where's the Renaissance Fair? I mean, he dresses like he's a falcon handler, and it's like all this poetry. I don't know. I just thought he looked like a pickup artist. You know what I mean? Anyway. I put you in touch with a MI5 agent through encrypted means. Have you contacted this person? I don't think so.
At the end of the day, if people really want to get in touch with me, they have to provide analog confirmation. I need something handwritten before I'll trust the source.
Okay.
You sent me handwritten stuff physically by snail mail. That's why I know you're real, for example.
That's true. I know. This guy's in hiding. He's very shady, but it's so strange.
No risk in honestly dropping a postcard into a mailbox somewhere,
All right. Well, should I have him send something to the Foreign Correspondents Club of Japan? That seems like you're in good...
I only trust analog. But yeah, again, I mean, overall, what I'm hearing is things are going to be... in a holding pattern until this autumn. Okay, that's my understanding. We're going to see the same news cycle churning oh, you know, Delta variant, Lambda variant. Oh, COVID is evil. Vaccines are killing, and it's gonna be like a cycle of accusations and counter accusations, and it's not gonna go anywhere. That's my understanding.
As long as they keep on putting out new genders, then I can relax. But if they don't do that, then I get real confused and I have anxiety. Your beautiful sister, Martha Fulford, was on the news. You put it in your blog. She's a beautiful lady. Here is what Martha Fulford, your sister, said.
Are lockdowns doing more harm than good? Dr. Martha Fulford is an infectious disease specialist at McMaster Children's Hospital in Hamilton. She joins us now.
I'm not alone, I think, in wondering whether this is actually still the best approach or whether we could have gone for a more targeted approach. It's shutting down areas that have not shown transmission going to make any difference to the transmission, and I mean, this is where we're at. It's Ontario's, I mean, there are many jurisdictions that have not taken this approach. I think this is very important to look at. And we can look at British Columbia, for example, as a jurisdiction that is also seeing a surge, also has a lot of the same concerns, but has elected to have a much more targeted approach. And then to get back to what you're asking me, there is a lot of collateral damage. And a year into this, we know there's a lot of collateral damage. And how do we balance the harms of COVID against the harms of the lockdown? And that is a very, very important question that we need to grapple with as we go forward.
Are the lockdowns doing hardcore psychological damage to a generation of people?
I'm sure they are. You know, my sister told me that she's under a kind of a gag order, and she won't send me a lot of information digitally. I'll talk to her face-to-face this summer and find out. But she was the head of infectious diseases at McMaster University Hospital. And before this COVID business, okay, I asked her, what is killing people? What diseases are killing people? And she said it was tuberculosis that's resistant to antibiotics. It was pneumonia. And, you know, so a lot of what they're calling, what they're doing is they're taking existing lung diseases and they're relabeling them COVID. That's for sure. But, I'll, you know, and you can tell this from the official statistics because the, you know, tuberculosis and pneumonia have vanished from the official government statistics. And suddenly it's all called COVID-19. So I'll know more when I get to talk to her in person. But a lot of these people, you know, they lose their medical license and their ability to earn a living if they disobey orders. It's a military system. People need to understand that.
The surge in general. It's a military.
Yes.
Yeah, I got to say, my sister is some, you know, fancy executive, you know, I'm some nightclub comedian, your sister is the head of, you know, and you're a muckraker, you know, our sisters are really powerful ladies that, my sister's more high functioning than me, I'll tell you that for sure. There's a lady called Jen Piskai, she's the White House press secretary. She says there's too much disinfo. Speaking of strong ladies, Jen Pisatsky, she goes, there's too much disinfo on social media. So let's hear what she says.
The president's view is that the major platforms have a responsibility related to the health and safety of all Americans to stop amplifying untrustworthy content, disinformation and misinformation, especially related to COVID-19, vaccinations and elections. And we've seen that over the past several months, broadly speaking. I'm not placing any blame on any individual or group. We've seen it from a number of sources.
You know, Jen Pazatsky, she looks familiar in a weird way. I just can't place my finger on it.
Oh, come on. You know, she looks exactly like Mark Zuckerberg. You know, what we're dealing with here is the families that own the Fortune 500 companies, and they're pulling out everything in their toolbox right now to stay in power. They're enforcing censorship through Google, Facebook, etc. They're using their control of the medical associations. They're fighting for their lives. But I'm telling you something. They are scared, and they should be, because the intelligence and military communities are onto them. And it's not going to be pretty when this all ends.
Aren't the intelligence agencies the perpetrators? It's just hard for me to see through the veil and go, you know, it looks like the officials are the problem.
There is an undeclared civil war inside the agencies for sure, but critical mass is now with what I call the white hats, who realize that civilian governments have been hijacked by the families that own corporations, that they're no longer represent the people, and that the incredible disparity in wealth these people have created through their greed is destabilizing society, and that something needs to be done. And there is, you know, but you have to be very careful. We don't want a chaotic French Revolution type scenario with anarchy and mass bloodshed and a new form of tyranny. So it's a difficult job, and it is also a hostage situation, but we are working on a transition, and I'm sure we will succeed, because if not, we'll hunt them down and we'll kill them all. You can quote that. I'm saying it on the record.
Who will?
The white hats and the military and the agencies and the secret societies, and there's a lot of us, and they know that.
I just want to see 9/11 truth get out there as means of, you know, before I would take a false flag in an injectable form, I would want to see the
other
ones.
Well, you think about it. Why is 9/11 truth all over the internet? It's because the NSA allows it, okay? So I know they get a lot of flack, but these people are the reason why you and I can talk and put out this kind of information. So they're showing that they support the people and the freedom of information, whereas the corporate media, the privately owned mega corporation ones, are the ones censoring. So you see 9/11 truth on all over the internet, but you don't see it in the New York Times or on CNN. So that tells you where the lines are drawn. It is the families that own the Fortune 500 corporations that are the problem, and action is being taken, but these are very, very powerful people, and they've been in power literally for thousands of years. It's not an easy job.
Mm. So what would the surgical thing? See, I would love, you know, a nice big wood chipper on the White House lawn, and you know, that's what I would say would be a good, you know.
Well,
what are the intelligence agencies?
Okay, I talk about a wood chipper on the White House lawn. You can go physically and see that Washington, D.C. is sealed off. And I've seen pictures of gallows there. And you can also confirm from public record that there's an unusual amount of airline flights from Washington, D.C. to Iceland. And that's, you know, why Iceland? Because that's the way to the Thule Air Base in Greenland. And I'm hearing that giant, you know, Guantanamo is overloaded, and there's huge facilities being built at the Thule Air Force Base there. Now, I have someone I have met in person who's going to go there and see, and I'll find out. But I'm hearing that something really big might come out of there, and that they might finally reveal all the Area 51 type Nazi secret flying technology to the general public.
In a reveal of, I don't know, I just sense that they keep on...
Anti-gravity, UFOs, this kind of thing, so that, you know, I've talked to the nephew of Admiral Byrd of Antarctic fame. Now, remember, after World War II, he sent a giant expedition to map Antarctica. And then there were news reports in Argentine and Chilean newspapers about how they suffered a huge defeat, and that, you know, they had flying saucers that could go from pole to pole in 20,000 miles an hour or something, or in 20 minutes. And anyway, this was a weird thing that happened. But I know, and this nephew of Admiral Byrd, his father was the head of CIA in East Asia and helped evacuate Chiang Kai-shek from China, okay? So this level of people. And what happened was that in 1942, the Germans realized they were going to lose the land war in Europe. So they evacuated their top weapons scientists to the what's now known as the Norwegian Antarctic base. And when Admiral Byrd visited Antarctica, they ran into these people. And he famously disappeared for a couple weeks. But what happened, according to his nephew, was that he met these Nazi scientists, and then the conclusion was, well, you know, Antarctica's really cold. Why don't you come to the United States? We have this great place in Arizona where you could do your research in a much more comfortable environment. And so, and the Nazis, they put out these UFO alien disinformation right from even at the end of World War II, these, right? So they moved their secret flying and other technology research to Area 51. But because of the Roswell incident where they, you know, put out an a UFO excuse for what was going on, that area became a focus of too much interest and too much attention. So they moved these operations to the Thule Air Base in Greenland, where, you know, people with long range lenses and stuff can't hang out. I'm hearing that they're ready to go public soon. I hope so. I really want to see that.
So they'll say, "Oh, it's not aliens, but good luck. It's Nazis."
Okay. Another thing I can tell you personally is a major Japanese titan of industry. He introduced me once to a Japanese scientist who worked on Japanese secret weapons during World War II. He was an elderly guy. And he told me that he actually rode a Nazi UFO in Manchuria towards the end of the war, a flying saucer. He said they were worried that, so they first they put a dog in and then brought it back, and then they rode it themselves. So this is eye-to-eye, person-to-person testimony. But anyway, you know, clearly, no matter how skeptical you are, the fact is that the United States has top secret research, for example, that they haven't revealed to the public. For example, there was many reports of black triangular UFOs, and then they publicly announced stealth aircraft. So they've got stuff that they've been keeping secret that maybe 20, 50 years ahead of what we've got in public.
Well, that sounds great, but it's like they use this technology, the officials, to shoot directed energy weapons at protesters. It seems like the people who have their grip on this forbidden technology are you know.
It's a war, and these people are fighting for their lives, and they are very powerful.
But
we have been forensically traced now to Switzerland. I mean, that's where the evidence. You know, I don't get my information from the internet. I go and I meet people, powerful people. And so, you know, I actually met David Rockefeller, and then these people point to places like the Emperor. I go and see the Emperor and his family, and they tell them it's Switzerland. You know, I go to Italy and meet the people who tell me they're going to fire the Pope, and then they fire the Pope, and they tell me it's Switzerland, you know. And then you have this World Economic Forum headed by Klaus Schwab, who's now being outed as a Rothschild. You know, so we know where these people are, and they're not space aliens. They're powerful humans from ancient royal lineages, and that's what we're dealing with.
You wrote on your report, April 1st, 2021, the Vatican comes out and embraces a temple of virgins and catamites. As an expression of this, the Vatican is officially coming out of the closet publicly, embracing homosexuality, bestiality, bisexuality, monosexuality, pedestrality, and trisexuality. Huh.
Look at the date on that article.
Oh.
April 1st. Okay, it's an April
1st. Oh, I was full. You got me. Sorry, buddy.
Come on. No.
You got me.
I try April 1st to try, and I don't always succeed, but I try to put out some spoof article like that, okay?
Well, I you know, I'm not a gumshoe. I'm not a muckraker like you. But I look at who's in power right now. What are they up to? Hunter Biden was caught by the New York Post ordering women on Facebook Messenger like a cat with a yarn ball, just going, "Oh, she's fat. Okay, I'll have that one." Doing coke, you know, doing porn on his laptop, forgetting it in Delaware on a meth bender. But now we have the screenshots of this, and just like Prince Andrew, just like I look at these powerful people, I go, "Why isn't this? Why hasn't he been arrested? What is going on here?"
Yeah, well, that's a question a lot of us are asking. But I do know, I have heard that, okay, there's one thing, okay, there's a difference between having sex with a fully physically mature 15-year-old and torturing and murdering a prepubescent child, okay? So what I've heard is that they've taken a lot of people who did, you know, touch young women and got blackmailed about it, and offering them immunity in exchange for testimony about the really bad people, you know, who are actually torturing and killing kids. And that may be what's going on. I just don't know. I don't have inside information on that one.
But you say that there is a mutual blackmail operation. Like, well, if you tell about this, then I'll tell about this. What could break through this? Do you see what I'm saying?
People who like me, who don't have any really big skeletons in their closet, you know?
I don't got too many skeletons in my closet. You know, I go around, I'm kind of a degenerate. I go around doing comedy, telling weird jokes. Rose McGowan, you know, but I got my master in screen.
I'm telling you a story, though. I give you an example, all right? I've never said this before, but I had anal sex with a girlfriend, okay? And then the next day, I got 3 phone calls. Saying, oh, you did that? You know, from these different creepy agencies. So that's how much observation I'm under. So I can't even do that anymore. I have to have a squeaky clean private life, but that's the sort of thing where they as soon as I do something a little bit off the line, I got like 3 different blackmail phone calls just from that.
They weren't asking for advice.
How these people work, you know?
They weren't going, hey, where'd you meet, or by the vending machines, or at the soda shop. Look,
you know, whatever. I mean, the point is that it's just, that's how these people operate. They're looking for something to blackmail me with. They've sent me so many honey traps, so many temptations. You know, like the past year, all these married women have been throwing themselves at me, and that's clearly a type of entrapment. It's not natural, okay? So they do this, and a lot of people, they fall for something, and then they have a hook. They have a blackmail lever over them, or else they accept a bribe, and that's how these people work.
Well, you're a handsome man. You got a great hairline. For you know, maybe people want you. Look, I got, you know, my degree in screenwriting. I'm watching Hollywood. That was my whole thing. I'm gonna expose the agenda subtly in a way that's entertaining. Rose McGowan is freaking me out because she's talking about, and I did experience working in Hollywood, but Rose McGowan said this, and it kind of traumatized me about the whole business.
So I'm going to use your terminology for this because I watched a great interview of you the other day, and I like the way that you phrase this. Is there, in Hollywood, was there the one pig monster, or is it like he's not even the worst and there are people just as bad as the pig monster?
Well, he was definitely the worst. He, unless you count a director who has famously and repeatedly been accused of child molestation, who I know ran basically the biggest pedophile ring in Hollywood.
Wow. Jesus.
So I would say there's the male, male side of it that's not explored.
She's talking about Bryan Singer. I knew about this, and I was working on a reality show. A producer came in and said, oh, yeah, last night at Bryan Singer's house, there was 15-year-old, 12-year-old boys naked in the pool for a folly, for an ornament. And I'm like, did you call the police? You know what I mean? And they're just like, well, no, that just happens. This is how it operates here. And it's like, you know, all these new things come out, HBO Max, this and that. But it's like there's still just these creeps at the top that just, you know, there's like still 4 channels. I don't know.
Well, did you see the Hollywood Oscar Awards ceremony this year?
No.
Nobody was there. All the VIPs vanished. Normally you'd see them all. None of them was there. That should show you that something's happened in Hollywood.
Were they zooming in or, you know?
Go to YouTube, whatever. Find the Academy Awards thing, and you'll see that none of the really big, famous Hollywood people are there. Normally, they're all there.
A previous guest I had was a guy called Alfred Lambermont Weber. He had someone on called Charlie Seven, who...
Wait a minute. This guy Weber, he had my website hacked and put in a bunch of fake UFO articles that were used to kind of detract from my... trust levels, saying, hey, see, he's not a journalist, he's a wacko space guy. And he works for the Rockefellers. He did at the time. Well, so, you know, that's my view about Mr. Weber, is this, you know.
All right, okay? Well, he did have someone...
What did you have to say? What did this Rockefeller propagandist have to say?
Well, he had Charlie Seven on, and Charlie Seven was someone who had her IP stolen by Helen Alexander, and I want to play Charlie Seven talking, not really Weber.
Because these people, they have no gratitude whatsoever. They think that they can just go through life, that's mine, kill him, kill her, oh, is he getting in the way, kill them. This is how they think. This is how they think, and they are 1%. There's 99% of the populace, and they're not dealing with these people in the way they should be dealt with. These people should be indicted big time. That's the only way to stop this, Alfred. I showed you about Richard Hanna, but I want to show you about this Helen Alexander woman. And what she's doing is exactly what Hannah's doing. She's doing identity fraud. She's trying to say that she's not herself. In other words, this is the woman that took my documents. But she's trying to say that there is two Helen Alexanders and she's not the Helen Alexander that stole my documents. This is the woman that took my documents. I will never forget her for the rest of my life.
So Charlie Seven wrote all these screenplays, she wrote all this thing, and then it became like American Idol level of So You Think You Can Dance a level type of...
I had a Facebook page at one point, and then I instantly got like 5,000 members or something, and then people were sending me all these interesting emails, and I tried answering them, and then I was frozen, and I couldn't write on my own Facebook page. And then the page was, you know, I said, well, if I can't write it, I'll take it down. And then four fake Facebook pages pretending to be me appeared, you know. And they also made fake White Dragon pages, all sorts of stuff there. That's why I don't trust this digital things. And this Weber guy, I'm sorry, but he did have my website hacked, and he put fake UFO articles to try to detract from my credibility. And I know that at that time, at least, he was working for the Rockefellers.
No, I don't know anything about that, but I take your word.
All right, anyway, I mean, they do fake people's identities, and they've been doing it for years. A couple people I used to work with had that happen to them. Neil Keenan, who did a lot of good work, was killed and replaced by someone who suddenly started selling these, curative computers or something. It's totally off the grid, and I couldn't talk to him. He used to talk on Skype all the time. I talked once to this imposter. It was obviously an imposter, and then he stopped talking to me. They've done that to a lot of people. You got to be careful. Jane Burgermeister.
Jane Burgermeister.
Who uncovered that Baxter Technologies had put in real bird flu and 7 million vaccines, and she was very active trying to get these people in jail. And suddenly I got contacted, and I was in touch with her. And her friend said she disappeared. They can't find her. Something happened. And then a fake Jane Burgermeister appeared. And I believe we've had her, the fake, hunted down and killed at this point.
Yeah. And Brandy Vaughn was someone I was not close to, but a friend of a friend. And I was kind of close to that situation when she was murdered in... Santa Barbara. I want to talk about one guy I trust out there is Klaus Schwab, Santa Klaus Schwab, you know. He's got this Great Reset comment, and only between the lines of his speech, I listen to this real carefully, you can understand what his agenda is.
This year's theme for 2019 for the meeting is Globalization 4.0 and shaping the architecture of the next wave of globalization, which is the Industrial Revolution, the fourth Industrial Revolution.
We are living in a time of multiple technological innovations. I just mentioned artificial intelligence, blockchain, and you could add and add. And all those technologies together will fundamentally transform the world, not just business models, but economies, society, politics, and so on. So when we speak about globalization 4.0, we want to address the global architecture which is needed in this new context of the fourth industrial revolution.
So he's got the way to get the highest and best use out of all these technologies, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, Mossad sent me information. It's in my weekly report this week. that he is definitely, his mother was a Rothschild. So he's a part of that clan.
He said something really racist and on the record, and this is what he said.
So we can give access to the best knowledge, to the best training, to people somewhere in a far out corner of Africa, for example. So those technologies could help to bridge the gap.
Oh, so he's going to bridge the gap of financial instruments to those Africans that don't have enough.
Yeah, FNB sources told me that they're trying to hand out these free phones to every African with free digital money. They haven't been able to brainwash and mentally enslave the Africans. So they're trying now. They're trying to get them part of their brainwash network. And that's what's really going on.
He's the social engineer. He's like, we have to train the Africans how to... how to get a mortgage, for example, and be in debt.
Government. Control mind. Govern mind. It's a system of brainwashing. And it creates people like the board. That's how we look at the Westerners from outside. It's like the board. A single group mind controlled from the top of the pyramid. And that's what we're fighting.
It's just...
And I think about 30 or 40% of Westerners have woken up at this point. And that's a critical mass, because a lot of these are the people who still have the ability to think for themselves and not just be told what to think.
But he's got this plan to engineer society.
The notion of disruptive innovation. And I see in some countries a element of disruptive innovation. We see a lot of disruption. We don't see yet the innovation. We have to integrate trade much more into an overall system. I'm not an unconditional, let's say, advocate of just free trade.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you look what happened now in many countries, is we see a rebellion of those who have been left behind.
Mm-hmm.
Take what has happened in the election in Mexico, take what has happened in the election of Brazil. Of course,
yeah.
It was a different group who at the end came into government, but...
So the politicians in Brazil, you know, the politicians in Mexico, you know, he's got all these politicians that he sits through, and he doesn't want anyone to be left behind. The puppets that he puts in different
countries. Well, he's saying, if you read behind the lines, they say, well, you know, we've lost control of the governments of Brazil and Mexico, and if we're not careful, we're going to lose control of other governments. It's well documented that most of these so-called world leaders you see at these UN conferences are bribed and blackmailed, compromised individuals working, you know, taking orders from up high. I've confirmed this multiple times with plenty of evidence. You can just look at their own words and actions to confirm this. I was told by Japanese electronics companies that the reason they talked about the ozone layer and flue gas, was it destroying the ozone layer? Is
methane.
Because,
yeah.
Hmm?
Is it methane gas you're talking about?
No, Freon, or the stuff in the refrigerators.
Freon. Yeah, that's right.
They said it was destroying the ozone layer, and they had to ban it. And they banned it exactly when the DuPont patent on Freon expired. And they, fortunately, DuPont had some freshly patented alternative gases which they could use in all the world's air conditioners and refrigerators. And of course, the Japanese and Asian electronic companies think, hey, finally we can make our own refrigerators without paying money to these DuPonts. We're really pissed off. So, but then they got these chlorofluoro-whatever things that they replaced it with, right? And guess what? 17 years later, their patents expire again, and suddenly you get all these world leaders, like, you know, 100 world leaders all say, oh, these new chlorofluoro-whatevers are 1,000 times more global warming than normal gas, and we've got to ban them. And so you can see that they're controlled by corporate interests. right there. That's an out in your face example where you have all these world leaders basically promoting patented DuPont chemicals. You know, this is what we're dealing with.
Yeah,
we have a corporate stealth theft of government power.
And then they're so surprised. Klaus Schwab is so surprised when, oh, I lost Mexico and then I lost Brazil. I mean, we gave some the empanadas. Isn't that the culture? So we had the dispenser of the empanadas. It's like, can you talk, you know, spend a little bit more time? It's not all just engineering. Anyway, I'm not sure if he's a buddy of yours, but a guy called James Corbett. Are you close with this guy? Is it Canadian in Tokyo?
He's in Osaka. I tried contacting him, but he never answered me. So I only know of him as a journalist. I've never met him in person.
Well, now I have a mutual friend. A good friend of mine is Charlie Robinson. He has a podcast called Macro Aggressions. And James Corbett said some really great things. This is my favorite episode of Macro Aggressions with Charlie Robinson. It's the James Corbett episode. So I want to play 30 seconds here of this.
Just as World War One led to the League of Nations and that idea and transformed the idea of international justice and all that, World War II led, of course, to the United Nations, which was already being talked about and planned by the Council on Foreign Relations in the 1940s before the end of the war. They were already planning for the post-war period and the United Nations and all of that. World War III, fill in the blanks, what will come next? And if it isn't a techno-fascist dictatorship, then yay, because that's the direction that this seems to be tending.
A techno-fascist dictatorship.
You know, I have proposed to the elites that I, you know, try to convince that we've got to do some, you know, manage this planet in a more human way, is that you know, for example, you have a coming of age ceremony or a wedding. It's, you know, these are like what are known as liminal events, so that maybe we should have some kind of fake end of the world event. So instead of a World War III, we go through this big thing, like a ceremony, to announce that the post-World War II international architecture is being completely revamped. In a way that puts it under the control of the average person, not a hidden secret elite. Mm. So they're, in their own way, trying to do something like some kind of big, you know, this whole pandemic and stuff. It's like a fake World War III. That's what they're trying to do, for sure. But we don't want the dust to settle with them having us now genetically modified to be permanently sheeple, never able to disobey. I mean, we've got to remember that famous quote from Henry Kissinger that they've tried to delete from the internet, which is that in the future, it'll be just as impossible for the average person to rebel against us as it is for a sheep to rebel against his farmer. That's what these vaccines are all about.
Yeah. Is this just the final solution of because they owe so much money to China that it's more, they can get more money out of their beasts of burden by chipping them? Is this just a blockchain human on capital market way of getting out of all their debt?
They're trying to take their Western hostage peoples with them, but they've only succeeded in getting about 25% vaccination, I think. And a lot of the vaccines have been replaced by saline solution stuff, but it's like a Masada thing. If we'd rather kill them than let them free, set them free. That's what they're trying to do, I think.
It's like Jonestown. I don't know. Hunter Biden, exactly. Just picking ladies.
So don't take the Kool-Aid, folks, please.
You made this point on Prepare for Change.
The Americans are trying to force a deal. Now that the petrodollar, which is what kept U.S. power, you know, since the Nixon shock in the early 70s, is definitely under serious attack. We all know the Chinese started trading oil futures in yuan recently, and that is booming. And now we have Venezuela, Russia, Iran, and now I think Nigeria too, starting to sell oil without using dollars. So the cat's out of the bag. And that's why the Americans are playing hardball. They realize, okay, you know, we've got to cut a deal now. If we just sit here passively, you know, we're going to be totally removed from world power unless we do something now.
So that's what this is.
Well, that, and also, you know, in February of last year, okay, the United States corporate government defaulted, and the ports on the West Coast froze. Nothing was coming in, and all trade stopped. And then in August, suddenly, the ports were overflowing. And I asked these Asian, you know, royal families, what happened? Why are you giving these people money again? And they offered us Japan, Korea, Australia, New Zealand, and ASEAN in exchange. So we're paying them because they gave us a bunch of real estate. And then they announced this RCEP deal that was a free trade deal that just incorporated those countries, which is like publicly available confirmation that what these sources are telling us is true. So this is what they've done. But of course, the Australians and the Japanese and et cetera did not agree to be sold to the Chinese. So this is unraveling now. But that's what these people did, together with this pandemic BS. But MI6 is saying that the pandemic is like squid ink. It's a desperate attempt to escape justice, but it's not going to work.
It seems that humanity has an immunity from central control, because every time they try to do it, they just go the other way. They obfuscate human behavior, obfuscate tyranny.
The other thing is, they haven't been able to kill us off. Like, HIV was designed according to... I actually interviewed a Dr. Vandermeer, who was one of the developers of it. It was designed to remove all the black people from Africa. It failed. Ebola didn't kill anybody. SARS was supposed to kill Asians, and it only killed 50-some people or 100-some people. They keep trying to kill us, but it's not working. And I'm sure that even though they're trying to kill us with vaccines, some kind of human herd immune response is going to prevent that from happening.
Just the same way of tyranny. And sometimes even mainstream news, they get in a little tongue twister.
Mass vaccinations the only path to a return to normalcy. Almost 4 months into the vaccination effort, providers are beginning to run out of people who want to be immunized.
Did he just say euthanized?
Yeah, I saw that one too. But I'm wondering, you know, like I say, part of it's just so contrived that part of me thinks this is all some kind of big fake show. Okay, so that because they're saying, oh, the vaccines that contain prions are going to give you mad cow disease, they're going to make you impotent, they're going to, you know, turn you into a remote-controlled robot, and then they have the other side, oh, if you don't take the vaccines, you know, this the Delta variant's going to get you. It's almost like it's just so full of contradictions and verifiable nonsense that I can't help wondering if this isn't just some big scare campaign to let, you know, it's like a, like I say, some kind of coming of age ceremony.
Well, that's what the Masons do. They walk on a checkerboard of, you know, they stand between two pillars, Yohim and Boaz, the dark and the light, so they control the lies on both sides. And I think the wheels are coming off the carnival ride, and all the carnival barkers with heroin needles out of their arms are freaking out. They're fleeing D.C. right now. I don't know what's going on. But I do know this. I know that you told me that you had a Korean spy girlfriend. You just said, oh, I had a Korean spy girlfriend. Please tell me about, look, I'm a single man. You know, how'd you get a beautiful Korean spy girlfriend? You know, I could use one of those.
I'll tell you what happened. I have about once a month or so, I have a public speaking engagement in Japan. And some very beautiful women show up at these engagements. And then they come to me afterwards, and they basically offer themselves to me. Now, at first, I was naive, and being a, you know, red-blooded male human, you know, I went for it. And then... the problem is later, I live to regret it. So, for example, the daughter of one of Japan's top gangsters came to me and offered herself. And then on March 10th, 2011, she said, she's got to see me. And she took me to see this, Asian massage guy who tried to kill me. He wrapped this poison cloth around me. And then the next day, and then she set my alarm clock to ring at exactly 11 o'clock on March 11th, 2011, like just before the Fukushima thing, right? So, and then it turns out she'd been sent by the Kroll Detective Agency, probably subcontracting from the Rockefellers. So I have this beautiful woman throwing at herself, but then she takes me to an assassin, okay?
How did you fight the masseuse with the poison robe?
As soon as I left that place, he said that I had to leave this cloth on me for 24 hours, right? As soon as I left, I just took it all off and I washed all the gunk off. And I have a pretty strong resistance. But they did admit they had tried to kill me at that time. Now, this North Korean was also, she showed up at one of my, she kept showing up at my public speaking engagements. And finally, I bit the hook. And, I really liked her. She was very smart, and she's taught me a lot of stuff, okay? Her family had been running a Shinto shrine for thousands of years. I got all sorts of esoteric knowledge from her. But then she started doing things like going to the police and saying that I was taking drugs and I was being abusive and things that just didn't make sense. So I took her out to the mountains where there was no telephone coverage, no cell phone coverage. We left our cell phones in the car. We walked down to a river, sit by a waterfall, right? And then I said, okay, now nobody's listening. You can tell me what's going on. And she said that they were blackmailing her family. They're threatening her family unless she did these things against me. And then it was really interesting is that when I came back, I got like 10 phone calls, saying, we heard that you got kidnapped. And then they put out an article saying I'd been replaced by a clone. And somebody even came to my house and walked in to just confirm I was physically still here because I disappeared from their screens. They don't have this little tracking device with the GPS. They can't see me on the map. I disappeared. I went off their grid. This is another example. So after that, whenever a beautiful woman throws herself at me at some public engagement, I just ignore it. I don't bite the hook anymore. But, I learned the hard way.
That's what I do at comedy shows when a girl comes up to me and she goes, oh, my God, I can't find my friends. Then I go, oh, there you go. Anyway, do you have a final message? Thanks, buddy, for staying on.
The final message is that everybody...
You mentioned a name, Kroll. So Kroll sent the masseuse with the poison towel?
Well, she worked for Kroll, okay?
K-R-O-L-L.
Yeah, the famous detective agents.
And also, there's a comic who's got a lot of success called Nick Kroll in the States. Is he a trust fund brat of these people?
I have no idea about that. Here's my message. Okay, I have a theory of relativity, which, unlike Einstein's, is really easy to understand. Whatever is closest to you is most important. So make sure that your friends, your family, and your personal food supply, etc., are all okay. And if you see evil within your immediate circle, try to deal with it by using the forces of good. If we all do that, victory will be ours a lot sooner than later. Mm. All right, thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Ben. I'll do some plugs while you get off. You can go to BenjaminFulford.net every Monday. He's got an article. You can also go to EricHollerbach.com for my stand-up dates. We have a sponsor. Highway Diary has a sponsor, ACBD Remedy. Go to ACBDRemedy.com. Type in code ERIC for 20% off your order. Thanks to my guest, Ben Fulford. This is Highway Diary, episode 308. Bye-bye.